Okay, this morning we're going to look at Jesus Christ, the healer of all. In our Monday night study nights, we've been spending months looking at all of the healings in the Gospels that were done by Jesus Christ and that were done by his apostles and disciples as well. And just having completed that, thought it would be a good thing to summarize some of the things that we've seen and see what the great takeaways are. So I'm starting with a series of questions. First one is, are there any diseases that God does not heal or cannot heal? Second, were there any diseases that Jesus Christ did not heal? Did Jesus Christ heal every person who asked him? And did Jesus Christ authorize and enable others to heal besides himself? And then did miracles of healing continue after Jesus Christ ascended, where it was no longer him personally ministering to people? And then the easiest question of all, whose name is above every name? So we'll be looking at these things this morning, and we'll start in Psalms. Psalm 103. So in Psalm 103, we'll look at the first few verses about God and some of his benefits, things that he does for people out of his kindness and goodness. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." What a wonderful thing to do, to speak about God and how good he is, and that all that's inside you, all your soul, all your life, to bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget all the great things that God does, because he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And here's some of the things that he does. We're not going to read the whole list, but in verse 3 it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And that's a marvelous thing, because we've all got some, And God forgives them. He forgives all thine iniquities. And then it says, who healeth all thy diseases, all of them. So is there any disease that God does not heal? No, because it says right here in Psalm 103, verse 3, that he healeth all thy diseases. So there's none that God does not heal. And that's always good to remember. Now, what about Jesus Christ? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Like father, like son. Jesus Christ said that all the things that he saw his father do, he did likewise. He said, I and my father are one. Not that they were identical, but they were united, completely united. They were like this, on the same page, doing the same thing. And in Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So just like God who heals all thy diseases, that's what Jesus Christ did when he was upon the earth. He preached the gospel, he taught the word of God, and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He didn't say most of them, or all except the real hard ones, or all except the real easy ones. He just healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, we looked at many, many records of Jesus Christ healing different people of different things, but not every instance of healing was recorded. Like in Matthew 4, 23 here, it summarizes a whole bunch of them that he did at one time. And it didn't go into detail about each one, but just that he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. In chapter 9, verse 35, let's go there, says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, very similar to 4:23, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. See, every sickness, every disease. So there was nothing that stumped him. There was nothing he couldn't do. And it wasn't by his medical knowledge either. It was always by the power of God that superseded the natural realm, but had an impact on the natural realm, you see? It originates with God in the spiritual realm, but the impact is in the natural realm, so that people with real diseases and real sicknesses and real disabilities, whether it's something that came upon them or something that they were born with or something that had a spiritual cause or something that had a physical cause, he healed them all regardless. In each case, you know, he was directed by God as far as what to do, by the God who heals all your diseases, right? So with God working in him, God directing him, Jesus Christ carried out the will of God, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. This is something that Peter said when he was preaching to Cornelius and his family and friends in Caesarea, to a group of Gentiles who had heard some things about Jesus Christ, but didn't have a lot of detailed knowledge. So what Peter is sharing with him in relatively few words summarizes what Jesus Christ did in a very, very concise way. In chapter 10, verse 38, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. That's what made him the Christ, the Messiah. He was the anointed one. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So all the healings that he did, there were all people that were oppressed of the devil, either directly or indirectly. There are many that had devil spirits that just caused people to act crazy because the spirit was controlling what they were doing and what they were saying. There were some spirits that were causing people to be blind or deaf or mute or all three. Then there were many people that had disabilities or diseases or sicknesses that had a physical cause. But none of that existed before Adam and Eve disobeyed God and obeyed the devil. They obeyed the devil, and it says in Romans, his servants you are to whom you obey. That gave the devil authority over mankind, Adam and Eve and all their descendants. And that oppressed means that he exercised dominion over them. So he went about healing all that had the dominion of the devil exercised over them, because Jesus Christ is greater. Jesus Christ is not under the devil's dominion, and neither are we now that we belong to him, because we've confessed that he's Lord, and we believed in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. But anyway, Jesus Christ healed every person that asked him. When they brought people to Jesus Christ, he healed them all. When people came to him, when the leper came to him and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, Jesus Christ said, I will. And he held him and he healed him. The blind men that shouted from the back of the crowd, Son of David, have mercy on us. And everybody told him to shut up. Jesus Christ stopped and said, bring those men to me. And he asked him, what would you like me to do for you? And he said, we'd like to have our eyes opened, our sight restored to us. And he did that. There was even a woman, a Canaanite woman, Syrophoenician, that called to him to have him cast a devil spirit out of her daughter. And at first he said, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But, you know, he checked in with God and he healed her daughter anyway. So he didn't refuse her. He did heal her. There were those that did not get healed while he was there, but they were the ones that didn't ask him. And they either didn't ask him because they didn't know who he was or didn't believe that he was who he was. It says when he went to his hometown of Nazareth, he didn't do a lot of mighty works there because of their unbelief. He still healed a few sick folks, those that did believe on him, but the majority of them did not. So they missed out. They didn't ask him to be healed. They didn't expect him to do anything for them. When Jesus Christ healed that one man at the pool of Bethesda, he only healed that one guy. And that guy didn't even ask to be healed. He was directed by God. God singled out that one man and he healed that one man. But nobody else asked him to heal them. So he only healed that one that God directed him to. But everyone that came to him or was brought to him, even those that had difficulty, remember that man with the son who the devil spirit would make him go in the fire or the water and he wallowed foaming. The one that had trouble believing, the one that said, if you are able to do anything, please have compassion and help us. Jesus Christ helped that man to believe and did heal his son. He cast out the devil spirit and then he dropped down as if he were dead. And many said, oh, he's dead. But he raised him up and healed him. So nobody was refused. If someone had trouble, he helped them with the trouble that they had. Mm-hmm. There was one time we healed a blind man and he didn't completely receive his sight the first time around. He said, I see men as trees walking. And then he went and ministered to him additionally until the man could see clearly. So Jesus Christ always followed through. He always carried through. He completely did the will of his Father. He healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, and he did not refuse anybody. Now, did Jesus Christ authorize and enable others to heal? Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And that says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, just like he did. He gave them power. That's exousia. That's authority. He authorized them and he enabled them. He didn't just say, go pray for people and hope it works. He commanded them to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then it names the names of the 12 that he sent out. And he gave them instructions. And among the instructions is verse 8, where he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Had they received? The power and the authority to do these things in his name, as his representatives. And they did it. So these 12 were authorized and enabled to heal. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. There were others also. Luke chapter 10 in verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now we'll skip down to verse 9, where he said, and heal the sick that are therein. He said, whatever house you enter, eat what's set before you in the previous verse, or whatsoever city you enter, they receive you. So I mean, someone invites you into their house. Heal the sick that are therein. So if there's any sick, heal them. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And let's go down to verse 17. So this is sometime after he sent them out. They did go out and then they came back. In verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Through thy name. That means it was in his name that they were able to cast out devils. They couldn't just do it on their own, you know, boss the devil's spirits around and make them do what they wanted them to do. But in the name of Jesus Christ, they could command them, and they are subject unto us through thy name. Really cool. They enjoyed having that responsibility and the privilege and the ability to do these things. Now let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. And this was at the Last Supper. Jesus Christ was talking to his closest disciples, the 12, and whatever other disciples would have been at dinner there. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, if it's because he goes unto the Father, then when, at what point of time will this be possible and available? It would be after the ascension, right? After he goes unto the Father. And we know that it was Pentecost where they received the power from on high. And then the 12 started to do these things. And there were others that believed also. But this was not limited to the 12, is it? It's not limited to the 70. It is limited to he that believeth on me after he goes unto the Father. So after he goes unto the Father, he said, "The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Because when he would go unto the Father, he would receive that gift of Holy Spirit and pour it out so that everyone could receive it by believing in him. Okay? So this includes us that believe in him. And if it were just limited to the 12 and to the 70, then after they were dead, there would be no more healings, right? No more miracles of healings. But this includes everyone that believes on Jesus Christ. So this is the documentation that we have been authorized and enabled as well. Now, next question. Did miracles of healing continue after Christ ascended when he was no longer personally present? Let's go to Acts chapter 4. I'm not going to be looking at all the records in detail. We'll be doing that on our study nights starting tomorrow. But Acts 4:16 is a comment that was made by the high priest and the council, the Sanhedrin, that had called Peter and John into question after healing the lame man at the temple. So that's a record we will be looking at in detail, but just want to look at something that was said about what they had done. Verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men, Peter and John? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." You'd think because they couldn't deny it that they would get behind it, that they would believe themselves also, but they wanted to spread no further. These were evil men. But there's another comment about the same incident in verse 22 that says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." So not every healing is necessarily a miracle, but this one was, okay? This was a miracle of healing. And the word miracle in this verse, there's different words translated miracle, but this one is semion, which means a sign. It was notable. It was an indicator that the power of God was at work. I mean, every time somebody's healed, it's a gift from God. Whether you're healed by natural means, God designed the body to do that. But there's some things that will not heal naturally. This man here was lame from birth. That's not something that's going to get better. And he was already over 40 years old. It wasn't going to heal by itself. A miracle of healing was necessary. Thankfully, miracles of healings are things that God does. either directly or through people that he works in to minister to somebody. In this case, it was through Peter and John in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that tomorrow night. There's another verse in chapter 4 here I wanted to see, and that's verse 30. When they prayed to God for boldness to speak his word, because they were threatened by the legal authorities, you know, the high priest and those guys, they were the governmental authorities, and they were threatening them and commanding them not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, the reply was, you know, we have to obey God rather than men. You know, the apostles and the disciples, they always did what they were supposed to do. They obeyed the laws. But here was a situation where the people in charge were telling them to do something contrary to what they were commanded to do by God. And then you have to make a choice. And if you get in trouble, so be it. You have to obey God, whatever he tells you. And then they went back to God and they said, God, you know, they're threatening us. We just want to do your will, and they're threatening us. So here's what we ask. We'll start in verse 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Look at what they're saying. And grant or give unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. The apostles never operated in their own names. Like Peter didn't say, look, I'm Peter, so you be healed. No, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, right? And the other disciples didn't say, hey, in the name of Peter, be healed. No, it was whoever was doing the healing, it was in the name of Jesus Christ. And they were not just saying the words, they were acting in his name. They were acting as representatives of him, with God working in them, just as he would work in his son when he was on earth. He works in those that believe today. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 16. Oh, we'll start in 15. So make it 14. Acts 5:14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one, just like when Jesus Christ was teaching and preaching and people were bringing the sick to him. They were healed every one. So all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, everyone, nobody was refused. Nobody was missed. Let's look at chapter 8. Because it wasn't just Peter and it wasn't just the apostles, but there was a guy named Philip in chapter 8, verse 5, that went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So many were healed of all different things. And that was Philip. He wasn't one of the 12. We don't know if he was one of the 70, but he was a believer. He was one of the seven guys that they chose to wait tables and take care of the administrative things in the church before everyone left Jerusalem, except the apostles, when there was that big persecution because Saul of Tarsus was going after everybody. And later on, you see Saul of Tarsus getting saved himself. He got healed, ministered to by Ananias. He did miracles. He healed the lame, the guy Publius that had a bloody flux, and all the people on that island that they were on. You see Paul healing him, and he was a latecomer. He wasn't part of the original group, but he received the same thing that they received. on the day of Pentecost. And so have we. So have we. So, last question. Whose name is above every name? Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 9 concerning Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And this is the section where it says to put on the mind of Christ, have the same mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, and how he humbled himself before God and was obedient to God. And then in verse 9 it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. So whose name is above every name?
Christ.
Right, Jesus Christ. And how did he get that name? It was given to him by God. God gave him the name which is above every name. And the name represents the authority. You know, if you're going to sign a check, you have to have the money in the bank for that check to be good. And it has to be signed by the person who's named on that bank account, right? Or someone that has been given power of attorney. That name was given to him by God. So he's authorized to have all the power and authority in the name that's been given to him. How great is his name? Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. So the things in heaven, the angels, as well as the devil spirits in the heavenly realm, we who are seated in the heavenlies with him, we're also in the earth because we live in the earth, but all the people that are upon the earth and under the earth, those that are dead, that will be raised again, because it said that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Remember that we read in the Gospel of John recently. So those that the human beings that are alive, the spirit beings that are alive, and the human beings that are dead, every knee is going to bow to him. Right now, it's those of us that have voluntarily confessed Jesus as Lord, we get this great privilege of being under his head. Those that refuse to, well, you know, they're under his feet. But every knee is going to bow regardless, voluntarily or otherwise. In verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, because he is, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord anyway, so you might as well say so, right? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. But while you're turning there, think, if his name is above every name, there's names of people, there's names of places, there's names of organizations, there's names of diseases, and people have high regard for these names, or low regard for these names, whatever it is. Common cold, don't worry about it. You know, you'll get over it in a week to 10 days. Cancer or something like that, people have a high regard for those names and say, I hope it's not that. Well, God heals all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jesus Christ healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They that believe in him shall do the same works and greater works because he went unto his Father. In Ephesians 1, verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, of God's power, to usward, that means toward us, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The working is the word energeia, means it's energized, you're working within. His mighty power, kratos, which means the impact of the power, and istrus was the force or the strength of that power. Then these are things God wants us to know. He wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. And that word power is dunamis. That means ability. The greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What a mighty thing that God did. Because he didn't just raise him from the dead to die again later. He raised him from the dead with a new body permanently forever. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. right at the throne of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. It covers everything. There's no name that is equal or greater than the name of Jesus Christ, apart from God himself, who gave him this power and authority and this name that is above every name, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, who are not under his feet, but are under his head, because the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a great place to be. It's the only place to be. And it's a permanent position that we have. It's not hanging in the balance. We're not here based on our good behavior, though we should behave well, but it's not hanging in the balance for us. We're in, not because of great works that we did, but because of God's grace, and because all we did was believe what was true anyway, and confess to what is true anyway, that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. So one more place I want to go is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 19. And I just love this and I'm so thankful for it. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our personal hero to each one of us, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us and even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. That means yes. It was not yes and no. Can you be saved? Yes or no. Maybe. No, it was not yea and nay. In him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. And it's by us because we're the ones doing the speaking. He said, and we're not speaking of ourselves. We're speaking about Jesus Christ. We're speaking because we were sent by Jesus Christ to do what we do, to say what we say. And thank God that every promise of God in Jesus Christ is yea and amen. We don't have to wonder, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? If God has said it, it's going to happen. If God made a promise to us who believe in his Son, it's going to happen. So you just stand fast. You just stay put. Okay? So are there any, to summarize, any diseases God does not heal? No, he heals them all. Healeth all thy diseases. Were there any diseases that Jesus Christ did not heal? No. He healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Did Jesus Christ heal every person who asked him? Every single one, and even some that didn't, because God directed him to do so. Did Jesus Christ authorize and enable others to heal? Yes, the 12, the 70, and then everyone that believes on him, since he's gone to his Father. Did miracles of healing continue after Christ ascended? Yes, they did. We can read about them in the book of Acts. And many of us, I would say all of us, can testify that yes, he's still doing miracles today. We are living witnesses of that. Whose name is above every name? The great name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.